listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour, mes amis. For the last time this year, welcome to the Tennis in 10 podcast on Roland Garros, where we'll recap the action under 10 minutes. And the last bit of action to go over was the 10th, I repeat, 10th French Open title victory for Rafael Nadal, who does it against a man who he has lost to previously in the Grand Slam final, Stan Wawrinka. And he does so to cap off one of his most dominant tournaments ever. And it could be argued that this was perhaps Nadal's best French Open of the bunch. It's incredible to say that and to contemplate that, considering what we've witnessed from him dating back to 2005. Thinking about what he did back in 08 when he, similarly, toasted Federer in the final. Another Swiss adversary who is certainly capable of battling with Nadal, but, as he did today, he completely neutralized and just as quickly overwhelmed Wawrinka with just some amazing hitting. The backhand to me stuck out as the shot that, did an incredible amount of damage, but just the shot that I think typifies Nadal's progression from 2005 to 2017. He served brilliantly too. Rafa's percentages on serves were really high, 83% winning on first serve points, 65 on second. You compare that to Stan, Wawrinka, it's incredible to see him only win 52% of first serve points. And obviously that speaks to Rafa's return game. And of course, I haven't even mentioned the forehand. And it looked as game-breaking as it has been in a long time, both on short balls to put them away, with the requisite amount of spin and angle, to take them, and not turn it into sort of a mini volley shot. Rafa, at his best, Rafa just punishes any short ball, and that's what he did all 2 weeks in Paris. But it was also, we also saw some throwback Rafa with him on the run today. That was to me, when I was watching the match and thinking that I was looking back at one of his greatest performances is that, in the Rafa canon of matches, some of his greatest, heights that he can reach are when he is on the run, scampering, and, instantly turning a point around that looks surely to be for his opponent. He had some amazing ones against Stan today. And, as it was pointed out, yet another lopsided set to end a match. And on the men's side, Ben Rothenberg of the Times pointed this out, that every final set was 6-1 or 6-0. There was a retirement as well, 2-0, from the semifinals and beyond. And I actually think it dates into the quarterfinal stage as well. But, once and three of those are because of Nadal. Once Rafa got a grip on any match over these 2 weeks, he just ran with it and took it further. And it was the same today against Stan. There was a juncture in the third set where, not that I ever thought Stan was going to come all the way back and win this match, but even though Stan was broken early in the third, he had a really kind of a mini push serving down 1-3 that I, trying to get the crowd into it a bit. I thought there was certainly a chance that the match could go into the 4 or 5 set territory, which I expected it to. It was surprising to me that, because quite honestly, I really don't think Stan played a horrific match. I just think the margins were so fine and so minute that you know, he was just asked to hit incredible shot after incredible shot over and over again. I thought Stan actually defended really well. He did make Rafa hit a lot of balls too. You know, I think, as I pointed to earlier, the serve, I do think Stan's serve really, you know, really, when he's made to play that many long rally points, you know, they're going to go to Rafa more often than not in this matchup. And, you know, Rafa's, you know, we've always seen him stand so far back returning serve. He could stand even farther back on Court Philippe Chatrier, given how big the dimensions are. And, you know, from that point, you know, he's asking Stan, you know, to not only hit a great serve to try to, but, you know, from that point on to hit more great balls during the rally. And certainly was not able to do it today. 6-2, 6-3, 6-1. This was over in 2 hours and 5 minutes. So just barely longer than the women's final, which clocked in at 1 hour 59. And Rafa has his 10th. 10th at Roland Garros, 15 slams overall. They unfurled some 10 branded banners, and they were prepared. The FFT was for this outcome. They had some nice stuff unveiled for the ceremony. I thought it was good on Stan to take that in stride, because it was a lot more than what Nike had done for Roger Federer at Wimbledon in 2009 when he won his 15th major to pass Sampras and unveiled the 15 jacket. That got a lot of attention back in the day. This one, I'm almost surprised it didn't get a little more discussion. But Stan, you know, he is one of the game's better sports, and he took this, you know, he realized that Rafa was, you know, practically in his peak today. And, you know, we mentioned Sampras. Rafa now passes Sampras. I thought that was kind of forgotten in some of the discussion about what this major does for Nadal. It puts him past Pete on the list. He trails just Roger with 18. You know, John Wertheim of Tennis Channel and Sports Illustrated made a fantastic point about how, you know, how pivotal that fifth set in the Australian Open final was. If Nadal holds that break of serve lead, wins the title, you know, we would be theoretically at 17 versus 16 now. Right now, we still have a 3-major edge to Roger. And, you know, what I think I'm looking forward to the most is for many reasons, I'm really looking forward to Wimbledon. You know, Rafa at Wimbledon just has not been there since 2010. You know, he made a final in 2011. But he, you know, coming after Roland Garros, he has just been unable to make it, you know, to solve it on grass like he did, earlier in his career. You know, if there's any sort of, if this really is turning into the ultimate throwback season where you have Roger and Rafa winning the first two slams and almost everything else of consequence on the tour, it would be amazing to see them play at Wimbledon. They have not played at Wimbledon each other since the 2008 final. You know, they could have to see kind of how the rankings shake out, but they could play a semifinal potentially. So we'll, you know, it'll be a very interesting draw for so many reasons. But you know, to say nothing of that, and just to stay in the moment for Nadal, it's a reminder to everyone that, you know, he is you can weigh the heavy French Open title count against all the, you know, against his other 15 and say it's lopsided. But I mean, this is now over a 12-year run, of just being able to master this tournament. And, you know, as I said, for Roger, after his Aussie Open win in January, enjoy Rafa while we have him. You are watching an all-time great player. And this was truly a pleasure to watch over these two weeks, even if the suspense lacked. That was about the only thing that lacked from Rafa. So thank you also for joining me on the Tennis in 10 podcast. I had a blast doing this. We might do some more coming up. Congratulations, Rafa, and au revoir.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.